For those of you that have been coming to Grace for some number of years, you will know that I don't keep a calendar in the sense of I don't keep a Christian calendar. So I may turn up to church and someone would say, oh, it's Pentecost Sunday, and I'm oblivious to that because every day is the day that the Lord has made. So I don't do, personally, New Year's resolutions for one good reason. I never keep them. So a message in which I believe is a good message for today just happens to be a good message for the beginning of a new year. And before we get into the Lord's work, I do want to just say an extended thank you to us as a church, to us as a body, as a ministry. Grateful for what the Lord has done in us and through us. If you are new to our fellowship, I think it's only fair just to let you know one or two things. The first thing is this: I may get my scriptures at time to time upside down, back to front and inside out. However, the Word of God, all of it is useful. So some of it will be useful, even if it's back to front. The other thing is this: not only am I dyslexic, I'm not have much of a far distance sight. So I don't look at people. Because I developed this habit when I was at school that got me into trouble. I stare. I tend to stare at people because I'm trying to focus. So you can imagine some of the subjects in church, some of the subjects through scripture, and you're talking and you're staring at someone. And they're going, honestly, Pastor, it's not me. So I don't tend to look at people. That's the reason for that. So God has called us to be part of a body. That means everyone is important. Now, I know we hear that, don't we, over the years. But what I want to say on behalf of myself and Susan is we've had the privilege of being in church leadership for a number of years. And we've had the privilege of walking through the good times and the not so good times. And when we say we're grateful, sometimes that word is not big enough. We are thankful. We are grateful for that mutual understanding that we're together in this. That we're not on our own and you're not on your own. When we say we care, we do. When one of our members are unwell, we're all praying for them. When one part of the body hurts, we all suffer. That's how it should be within church. And I know it's not always the case, but we are grateful, we are thankful. We are thankful for your time, for your talents, and for your finances. We need time to do things. We need the talents and abilities that God has given us. And as we each use those throughout this next year, then I believe we will see even greater things that the Lord can accomplish through us. We're a no-frills church. We're a church that's built on a foundation, and that foundation we'll talk about today is Jesus Christ. So when we give of our time, we give to the Lord. Yes, we're helping and serving one another. When we give of our talents, we're giving to the Lord. When we give of our finances, we're giving to the Lord first of all. And we're saying, Lord, be wise with the money that we give. So, hopefully you can hear me, but I can't. I want to start in Psalms. This is the book of songs. If you imagine, just singing the Psalms is a good place to start if you haven't had a very good year up to now, a few days into it, aren't we? But this is the day that the Lord has made. So let's start in the Psalms 127, starting at verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. How many of us have an understanding of that? How many of us have known that we've tried something and we've done it because it seems a good thing to do? But this portion of scripture tells us, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. And it goes on to say, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. And then it talks about children being a heritage. And children is our heritage. And when you look at everything in scripture that the Lord gives us, everything, it's our children that are our heritage. It's our children that hopefully will be with us in eternity. So I want us to just ponder on that thought about building a solid foundation. I want us to ponder upon what God's word says about how we build. Now, what is very difficult for me is all the good illustrations I have are to do with Susan and me. It's to do with our lives. So I hope I don't overstep the mark at times, but when we first got married, We didn't build our marriage on Christ. I mean, how could Susan not be attracted to me? I don't know. But she can't see very well either. But we never had that solid foundation of Jesus Christ. So we built it on other things. We built it on mutual interest, attraction, and the things that we think that will help us to grow. And because we built it on our foundation, it collapsed. And I'm not going to go into how it collapsed, but it collapsed. So I do say this, and this is true. If I hadn't become a born-again Christian, I'd be a dead husband. Because God's grace was there for us. And so we've been through the good times and the not so good times. But thankfully, the Lord got hold of us. And it's at that point we built on that foundation. So I say that to say to some of us who may be listening in the room and listening online, is that we may think it's a solid foundation, but it's not until something happens in our lives, as we spoke about last week, until the wind and the waves of adversity come, we don't know if our boat will stay afloat or not. I'm not somebody that gives a lot of illustrations, but because we have some new members in the church, hopefully, I'll give this illustration. We went to see a very good friend of ours, Alan and Bev. And me being blind when I take my glasses off, I went down into the bathroom to clean my teeth. And I thought, this tastes funny. And anyway, I continued to clean my teeth, thinking that Alan's toothpaste was a little bit strange. And then I put my glasses on and I found it was Imac hair remover. So the point is this, we don't know what's in the toothpaste tube until it's squeezed. And you don't know what's going to come out until you're squeezed. If you're built on a solid foundation, then what will come out? At the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So I want to challenge us, because God's word is encouraging and it's challenging, isn't it? So, less of me and more of him. In Matthew 7:24, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, many of us are familiar with that. And I've read this portion of scripture time and time again. But one of the things that we very rarely hear is, what words? So if we look up, it's talking about, then I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. These words. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And we don't like to hear those words, especially in church, because there's a truth to it. And sometimes we may be around people who say they're one thing, but they're another. When they're squeezed, something else comes out. We need to know that we're not perfect people, but we serve a perfect God. We know that we don't get it right, but he's already got it right. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So you're on this journey. However, there's a way in which God, I believe, wants us as Christians to build our lives. That doesn't mean there won't be a time where we need to dismantle certain parts and rebuild it. Yes, that's what journey is. That's what's glory to glory. That's what it means, that we're not perfect, but we serve a perfect God. So when you start to read the scriptures before, and I like to use the word context, when you get everything in context and you look at what Jesus is saying, it's pretty challenging. But read it for yourself. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Another thing to say to anyone who's new in church is that we start on time and we try to finish on time. And we start at 11 o'clock and we finish at 12:30. And that's what we try to do. But in the middle of all of that, we say, Lord, if you want to change something, do something, then we're a ministry that will allow him to do that. Is that okay? Well, I'm glad you said yes. So, in this portion of scripture, the wise and the foolish builders, it tells us already, doesn't it, that there are people who are wise and people who are foolish. When you look through the scripture, it talks about the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. It always gives you the answer to the question. It always gives you an in and an out, an up and a down, heaven and hell. That it always gives us these two perspectives. But so often in life, we don't want to hear the hell, we want to hear the heaven. But we won't understand the heaven if we don't understand the hell. So, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. And when we speak, when we proclaim, we're speaking God's word. When you read, you're listening to God's word. So if you know scripture, you know his words. Who is talking to you? So we can't escape it. God is talking to you and he's talking to me. It says, here's these words of mine and put them into practice. It's like a wise man. So scripture says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. It's not enough just to hear what he says. We need to do what he says. It says this in 25. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall. Which house? The one that's built on the rock. Because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on sand. When the rain came down and the streams rose and the wind blew and beat against that house, it fell with a great crash. Just pause for a moment. Just think about a relationship, a business, a body of people, things that we do. If we listen to what God says, he says it will survive. If we don't listen to what he says, it won't. So just pause for a moment as we do go into a new year. Are there things in our lives, my life, your life, the life of our children, the life of our parents, our grandparents, those that we care about, those that we love, that we know and we can see that it's a shaky foundation? Well, if it's not your foundation, you can pray about their foundation. But here's the thing. We need to look after our foundation, don't we? You know, if you haven't got peace, you can't give peace. If you haven't got love in your heart, you can't love someone else. If you have not accepted the generosity of God, when we talk about prosperity, we're not talking about finance, we're talking about the fullness of God. Nothing broken, nothing missing. That's prosperity. True prosperity is when we know, Lord, you are my Lord and my Savior. You rule and you reign in my life. What I have belongs to you. Yes, money is involved, but you can be a poor, prosperous individual financially because you're rich in God's mercy and God's grace. And it's not about what we have, it's about what we do with what we have. So when it comes to foundations this year, let's just think about it. And do you know what? Just like Susan and I, we got to a point in our lives where we said, Lord, you're going to have to build us again. You're going to have to tear down us and start again, brick by brick by brick. And that's the only way to build, isn't it? From the foundation upwards. You know, many people, I liken it to this because I have a poetic mind. Many people, even in church life, they build on a tabletop. And when you build on the tabletop, eventually that will collapse. We need to build on something solid. And we'll discuss what that is as we go through God's word. But everyone who hears these words of mine puts them into practice. So let's be people that will put them into practice. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as a teacher of their law. You see, Christianity isn't about rules and regulations. But they are about faithfulness. It is about building according to God's plan. We can build according to our plan, but God wants us to build according to his plan. So as we go into this next year, let's think about that. This is a portion of scripture that most people can really relate to. And it's in Ecclesiastes 1, and I want to start reading at verse 2. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Have you ever been there? Are you there? Do you go, what's the point? You know, I pray, I give, I turn up to church, I worship, I praise. Everything is meaningless. Well, that's because you've got your eyes on you and not your eyes on him. Because if you have your eyes on him, you won't have your eyes on you. Let me explain. I liken it to Peter being in the boat. And there's a storm all around and the wind and the waves are already there. And Jesus is walking towards him. And he calls out and Peter says, Lord, if it's you, call to me. And he says, come. And the positive encouragement about that scripture is Peter went. And he started to walk on the water. And then we know it's a sermon for another day. He started to take his eyes off the Lord, put them on his feet. And when he put his eyes on his feet, he started to sink. Why? Because he looked at his circumstances. It's not what you say, it's what God says, isn't it? It's not what you think, it's what God thinks. It's not what someone else has said about you, it's what God says about you. So my privilege as someone who speaks is taking God's word and letting you know what you already know, but magnifying it so that you know it even more than what you thought you did. You're challenged, you're changed, you're encouraged. God's word is to encourage us, but it's also to correct us and direct us. Meaningless. What do people gain from their labor at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises, the sun sets, and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Around and around it goes, ever returning on its course. The streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. The place where the streams came from, there they return again. All things are wearisome. And if we're not careful, we can get worn out with well-doing. More than one can say, the eye never has enough of seeing. The ear, it's full of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered, but those who follow them. And if we keep going down that line, we can talk ourselves into a pit. Meaningless, meaningless. But there is an end to this portion of scripture, and we'll share it later. But the truth is this, it's not all meaningless. There is a plan and a purpose that God has for me and you. He's building us into a mighty house. He's building us into a spiritual temple. He's building us because he's starting with the foundations. And the foundation for you is repentance and allowing God to come into your life. That's your foundation. So many people try to earn their way into kingdom. So many ministers will preach, if you give more to the church, you'll be more blessed. God doesn't care. He just wants your heart. And then once you get that heart relationship with God, you'll want to give. And you'll give whatever he calls you to give. Why? Because it's a relationship. God's not interested in how much you give. He's interested in why you give. If you build on the foundation of I must, I must, I must, then eventually it will collapse. But if you build it on the foundation of repentance and salvation, it's something solid. Have you heard the term, I saw my friend so-and-so and he's hit rock bottom? Well, what a good place to be, eh? To hit rock bottom means you've got something solid in which to build your life upon. And if you know someone in the secular world and they're really feeling it, and they share with you, just remember they're being honest, they're being vulnerable. Don't abuse their hospitality. If they share something like that with you and they go, I'm just hit rock bottom. At that point, you could say, listen, I've been where you have in different circumstances. I hit rock bottom, but I'm building on a solid foundation, Jesus Christ. Let me pray with you. There's power in prayer. Davey gave a testimony of, he went to hospital to die. And I'm just speaking the truth. He thought he wouldn't come out. He had his Bible, the Word of God, on his table. Now, those of you that know Davey, I've always said this to his face. Your gift is not speaking, it's writing. Because when he speaks, he offends people. But when he writes, he blesses people. And when he was in that vulnerable position, someone came and saw the Word of God. And he received a blessing. He's here to tell the story, so that's good news, isn't it? So there is a foundation that we need to build upon. There's nothing new under the sun. And if we're not careful, we can think that. As Christians, born again, spirit-filled Christians, we can think, what's the point? I'm praying for my family, what's the point? Well, there's always a point. There are people in this room that can give testimony of something that they prayed for many, many years ago, and it's now coming into fruition. Never give up. Why? Because you're built on a foundation. And because you're built on a foundation, it will come brick by brick by brick by brick. But do you know the roof tiles can't go on until the building is built? So there may be things in your life that God's ready to just cover, but he can't because there's more bricks that need to be built. I hope you understand this. But 1 Peter 2 verse 4, it says this: as you come to him, this is Jesus, the living stone, Christ on this foundation is Christ, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. So it takes the individual and it implies the corporate. It takes the individual brick and it starts to build a house. To be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious." Comma. For you who believe. Do you believe? The answer hopefully is yes. Well, if that's you, this stone is precious. What stone? Christ. This stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. A stone that causes people to stumble and the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you, the ones who believe, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This isn't a message to just make us feel good, that look at me, I'm a child of the living God. With that title, with that badge comes responsibilities. To listen to his word, to do what he says, to be generous, to be forgiving, to be loving, to give into God's kingdom, to turn up and worship collectively. But yes, we are a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We've been adopted into his family. We are children of the living God. And therefore, we are representation of who he wants us to be. We are heirs, the Bible says, and co-heirs with him. It means we're not on our own. It means we're together with Christ, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And together, through Scripture, it tells us, as a spiritual house. So as we continue to look through these one or two scriptures that I have written down here, let's continue this journey of building. Someone in the crowd in Luke 12, 13, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me as judge or arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist of the abundance of possessions." I don't know about you, but I like stuff. I like to have my mortgage payments paid on time. I like my bills to be covered. I like to have a car that will start in the morning. I like stuff. Yeah, do you? I do. There's nothing wrong with stuff, is there? There's nothing wrong with having a bank account that has finances in it. It's a good place to be, the Bible says. We need to be good stewards of what God gives us. But here's the key for us. It doesn't matter how much we have. It's what we do with what we have that is important. You know, God says through his word, "I want you to invest this. I want you to bless others with that. I want you to sow this into my kingdom." This isn't a message about money. I very rarely do that. But there is something liberating about when we are generous givers, when we agree an amount in our heart and says, "Lord, this is yours." And because of our obedience to his word, he then says back to us, "Listen, it's okay for you to have stuff, but don't store up treasure on earth, store it up in heaven." There's always a good and a bad, isn't there? There's always an ugly in what we do. But it's not about our abundance of possessions. Although God wants to bless us, encourage us. As I said, prosperity isn't just about finances. It's about everything. You know, it's about finding the right neighbours when we move into a house. It's about finding the right church, may I say. You know, this may be the right church for you, it may not be the right church for you. If it isn't, let's help you find one that is. Why? Because we want the best for you. We don't want to see empty seats, don't get me wrong. But it's not about how big we are as a ministry. It's how big God is in our lives. So our opportunity week after week is to encourage each other to grow, to be changed, to be challenged, to say, yes, Lord, it's okay for me to have possessions, but I want to seek you first. See, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and then everything else will be added. I hope that makes sense. So as we go through about building, we build into this year. We build on a good, solid foundation. We build on what God has already given us. And we ask him to reveal something more as we go through this journey throughout 2026. For no one can lay any foundation. Many years ago, Susan and I was in the position where we never had a holiday as a family at this point. And some kind Christian lady sponsored us to go on a holiday. And we went on a Christian retreat, and many wonderful things happened on that Christian retreat. The Lord gave me a poem to write, which I won't recite now. But the first memory verse I ever remembered was this one. No one can lay any foundation other than the one that has already laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. That's the only one I memorized. But but what a true statement. What a memory verse to remember out of everything that Scripture tells us, that no one can lay any foundation. Doesn't matter what you try to build on if it's not started on that foundation of Jesus Christ. It could be start on good intentions. It could be a relationship built on, I've got to be careful how I say this, mutual attraction. But mutual attraction, it will fail. And do you know what? When it comes to a man and a woman coming together in the Lord, then they have responsibilities. And if one of them don't hold up their responsibility, then God holds them accountable. And so we both need to hold up our responsibilities. No one said church would be a safe place, did they? It's a place where we can be challenged. But this is a good word because it'll encourage us to build on a solid foundation as we go through this year, at the beginning of this year, to say, I need to take some bricks out of my wall and start again. I am not a builder. I'm a bit of a bodger and scarper. But the biggest blessing I ever received was a chop saw, because at least I can cut straight lines now. Well, when I try to do it in my own strength, it never goes the way I want it to go. I need to build on a solid foundation. You need to build on a solid foundation. And that solid foundation is Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says. I think we've got time to go into this. Anyone who builds on this foundation, this is Christ. So we're talking to the church here. If you put it into the context that we talk about and look at who this is talking to, it says, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light, and it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each person's work. There'll come a day. Christ came not to condemn the world, but to show himself and to save the world. But he's coming back to judge the world. So there'll be a day where he judges everything we do, the Bible says, and this is a scary bit, everything we say and everything we think and don't say will be judged. And it will be judged by fire. It will be judged by the word of God. It will be judged by the character of God. And there are several materials that we can build with, and this illustration shows us that there are things that will last under the test of the fire. When you refine gold, yes, it will melt, but it simply refines it. It brings the dross up and still leaves the purity of the gold. It's the same with the silver and the precious stones. But the hay, the straw, and the wood will be consumed. Their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light and it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. And if it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved. This is how I know he's talking to Christians. Because he's not talking to non-Christians, isn't it? Because you can't work your way into salvation. So he's talking about Christians. You will be saved, even though only one escaping through the flames. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple? So when we introduce this illustration of the spiritual house, you know, we're individual bricks, aren't we, being built, but we're also a spiritual house. It says in this portion of scripture, do you not know you yourselves are God's temple? Selves, not just you yourself, but yourselves are God's temple. That God's spirit dwells in your midst. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred. And you, together, are that temple. So when God introduces something through his word, he gives us the answer. So you together are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think that you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. It's not about our wisdom, it's about his wisdom, about Christ in us. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. And if you read before this portion of scripture, you'll get this group of well-meaning Christians going, I follow Apollos, I follow Paul, I follow Cephas, I follow Christ. No, we all follow Christ. He's the head. We're the body. He's the head. Where is Paul? Where is Apollos? Where is Cephas? Or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future? All are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. So when we start looking at building this year, we can build on a solid foundation. If you're not on a solid foundation, take a few bricks out of your wall. Take a few bricks out of your house. Put a few props up and rebuild. Say, God, help me. Show me. You know, it's never too late. It's never too late. Yeah, but you don't understand. My daughter will never change. My son will never change. Well, that's human wisdom, isn't it? What's God's wisdom say? All things are possible. But what do you need to do? Believe. Not believe that you can do it, but believe that he can do it. Do you believe that? If the answer is yes, then take that brick out and replace it. Lord, you can do this. I'm going to pray. What does the Bible say about building the church? He will build his church. So all we need to do is be honourable, to be part of that structure, to be a clean stone, a clean brick in that spiritual house. Here I am, Lord, change me. Whether Paul or Apollos, you know, you are of Christ and Christ is of God. Just two more scriptures as we start and finish this first ministry message of this year. It says in 2 Corinthians 3, and we all who are with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image, his ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. See, God is changing us. He's changing us. He's encouraging us. He's taking away the veil so that we can see. Sometimes we see dimly. Why? Because we're looking through a dirty window. God's come to clean us, to cleanse us, to restore us, to renew us. You know, last year is last year, isn't it? You can't get that back. You can't change last year, but you can change today. Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. So you don't need to worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worries of its own, the Bible says. But you can change today. You can think about changing them bricks tomorrow, but tomorrow there may be a few more added. But today you can make a choice to say, Lord, I'm building on that solid foundation, which is Christ Jesus. Lord, I am part of that spiritual house. I am going from glory to glory. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, remember we was reading meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Read it and you'll get more depressed. And you'll go, yes, I agree. Yes, life is like that. I tried to do this and this happens. I tried to bless someone and they throw it in my face. I pray and I get worse. Have you ever done that? I pray and I get worse. I pray that God will heal that person, raise him from the dead, and they die. Meaningless. Meaningless. Because we're looking through our eyes, not through his eternal eyes. So he has a plan and a purpose for all of us. But you need to read this as we come to the end of it. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Now Solomon was deemed to be a very wise man. He had great wealth, great riches. Yes, he fell from that grace that God had given him. He made some bad decisions. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because he started to build on a different foundation. He started to believe that he was the man instead of God being the way, the truth, and the life. That he was doing it through his own strength. That he could do whatever he wanted and God wouldn't see what he was doing. And yet he gets to this point. Here is the conclusion of the matter. So after saying everything, after listening to me speak for a few moments, after reading scripture, after being encouraged about that foundation, I can say, this is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. Fear God, keep his commandments. That's simple, isn't it? So why couldn't you just say that, Andrew? Because that would take a minute, and we really have more than that, don't we? But so often, we can look for something that is so complicated. We can look at it, and we can dive into it, and we can be, if we're not careful, we can sit in front of a mirror, and we can allow the mirror, the reflection of our life, to be that person that starts to speak back to us. So how does that make you feel? Well, I feel angry. Well, you deserve to be angry. Well, I feel let down. Well, you deserve to be let down. I feel betrayed. Well, no wonder you feel the way you do. They're there. If we're not careful, we become our own counselors. Unless we read God's word. And what does he say? The Holy Spirit is our counselor. Doesn't mean we don't need people. Don't misunderstand me. God's given us gifted people, men and women, that will sit and give good counsel. But not the counsel you want to hear, the counsel you need to hear. Why? Because you're being built into this spiritual house. But if we're not careful, we can look at what happened last year and we can go, meaningless. What's the point? We can look at the beginning of this year and go, nothing's changed. Or we can be like Solomon and say, listen, there's a conclusion in all of this. Yes, that happened. Yes, I feel like this. But I'm going to build on a foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. So I'm going to make a declaration. If you want to make a declaration this year, make one that you will not let go of. I'm going to build on Christ, his foundation. So when you have a trouble, a trial, a situation in your life, don't ask me. Well, you can. I'm not saying you can't ask me anything. You can ask me things, but don't ask me what my opinion is until you've sought what God says. Example. This person really has annoyed me this year. Do I need to forgive them? What does God's word say? Well, why ask me then? Because you already know, don't you? So the point I'm making, and I'm not being flippant, I'm just trying to give illustrations like Jesus did with parables, just to extend the truth so that we go, yeah, okay, it's about me, my relationship. You need to build on your foundation. You can't build on my foundation. I can't build on your foundation. You need to build on that foundation that God has given you, and that's Jesus Christ, in your own life, with your own structure, knowing that you are blessed, encouraged, enabled. God helps you. He forgives you. He wants you to have peace. So as we go forward, if this is you, if you've ever felt like this, fear God, keep his commands, because this is the duty of all mankind, and you're part of mankind, so it's your duty. So let's conclude with prayer. Let's conclude with just some thoughts. Not my thoughts, but God's thoughts, in the sense that to remind you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That maybe we could pray a corporate prayer, because we are not just individuals. We're individuals being built into a spiritual temple, a spiritual house. So together we are that house, the Bible says. So maybe we can pray as I open my mouth and you say an amen, let it be so, that our prayer would be, Lord, that you create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Lord, that you would help me to recognize the substandard bricks within my life, that I may have the wisdom and the courage to remove them and allow you to build afresh, starting on that foundation. Lord, forgive me for saying that this will never change, because I know you can change it. Lord, encourage me to be an encourager this year. Lord, encourage me to be a giver this year of my all to you. That as I look into your word this year, you'll speak to me afresh. Lord, help me to believe that the best is yet to come. I ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. As we finish with our final hymn song, I can remember, and I've had this conversation with Susan yet again, I will use us as an example. And I mean what I'm now going to say. I thought all my troubles were Susan's fault. If you just, I'm a Christian, right, born again, spirit filled. At this moment in time, I was a bit of a charismaniac, but I've now come to the centre. But I was going, God, if you only changed Susan, then everything would be okay. Am I the only one, or is there anyone else? Just change her, because she's the problem, because I'm fairly okay. And you know what the Lord said to me? I need to change you. So I changed my prayer. I said, Lord, change me. And as God changed me, I could see clearly my own mistakes. Yes, God did change Susan, but not because I asked him to, because she asked him to. So to see my point as we, on a solid foundation, that wasn't solid, was it? Always pointing the finger at someone else, it's their fault. It's not their fault. It's not always your fault, and it's definitely not God's fault. We are in the world, but not of the world. So church, be blessed. Be encouraged as we stand together and finish with our final hymn. Amen.